Well, it's time for praises, so let's do some of that.
For the first time in 56 years, I have glasses.
Happy birthday.
Doctor, you know when you go, they find something you need. You know, the rectal exam I forego, you know, no, it's all right.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Too much information.
TMI. Yeah, that's a definite TMI.
But I got me some. He says, you know, pick, you know, the frames. I got the most expensive ones they had. They had the Ray-Ban transitions and progressions and whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought I could see.
But now I can see. Really
yeah.
See.
Yeah.
So I'm down before I. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Who else has praise? Jerry.
Praise the Lord that He is real. And I praise the Lord for prayers answered.
Amen.
Amen. I am going to see my daughter Kendall in the Hiscow Monday night.
Don't in training.
Me, her, and the whole situation.
All right. Well, there's praise. Just walked in the door, so that's cool. Who else? Praises. Sherry, what's your praise?
It was such a good time yesterday with playing the games and stuff, and then I got to be here and do it.
I won 3 games in a row yesterday.
3 out of 6.
Yeah, but the first 3, you know.
Or 3, was it 6 or 5, something like that.
Just because I was playing.
Texas Run, what else? All right, other praises. Go for it. Gilbert.
Praise the Lord for allowing me to do the things that I do. And being in Mexico, I lost my tenant about 2 months ago, and so I had to come back to take care of things. He left a bunch of furniture. So I got some free furniture if anybody needs some. And turning it back to the real estate agent. I inherited a lawnmower, right? A lawnmower and a shed on top of it. So things are going forward in that regard.
All right.
I also get a good tenant when it comes up next. First of the month.
Cool. Oh, just like Christmas, come all these presents laying everywhere. All right. Morning, Mike. Francis, what's your praise?
I praise the Lord that I was able to make the trip to Huntsville to see my daughter get her college ring. It was quite a ceremony. So wasn't in a great deal of pain, and it was a good trip.
Cool. That's great. Is anybody praising the Lord for the cool weather? I don't know.
Yes.
No.
At least it's, I'm not. I just wondered if anybody was.
Breathing
is good. It's good. Yeah.
I have another praise.
Yes.
I got a new 11.
Yeah, I saw that pretty shiny thing.
A new what?
My ovens were crazy. And I baked cakes and cupcakes for the cakewalk, and they looked like like the lava hills look in Hawaii. They looked like that in the middle. Like square right there, and then had this thing on.
All right, cool.
Like, okay, I'm done.
Cool. So you have a redhead in the family now, huh?
I guess that's my praise that Costa's here, and anyway.
Yeah, amen. Who else? Mike?
New client in Colorado, and I got a meeting with a chain of franchises for home health care.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Pay and work.
Yeah.
Nothing like good pay and work. Keeps the wolf away. Yeah, Francis, go ahead.
I want to praise too, because I've been on the phone with Calista the last couple of days, and God sent this dog to her. It immediately started being right by her side and not leaving her. It's just good to see her safe and happy. And dogs usually don't do that right away. So
Yeah, they figure out who they like pretty quick. Bye, Astro.
Yeah, he wouldn't even. I went into the room because he sleeps with her now. And I was going to let him out to go to the bathroom, and he wouldn't get up. He wouldn't leave her. And so I asked her, I was like, can you get up to take him? And she got up, she immediately gets up and walks with her out there. So.
Yeah, he knows his job.
He does, too.
He knows his job.
Already.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. That's very good. Everything's cool outside this morning.
Yep. It's too cool.
Yeah.
Lord, for setting things up for me and showing me, you know, where I'm going wrong, things like that, correcting my path.
Okay. Amen. He's good at that.
Yes, praise the Lord for him seeing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got one more praise. I'm going to jump in on that.
God, okay.
Prepping me with the way I manage money, starting Dave Ramsey and doing... made some big changes in my business in the last 3 months. It's helped. So,
you're ready. More to come.
Yeah, he's corrected me, too. Yeah.
There are a lot of Dave Ramsey graduates here.
Yeah, I believe.
Oh, yeah. We have workshops here twice.
Good.
Yeah.
I like this stuff.
This is the time of year that we talk about money around here. Heart of Purpose is coming up. But Heart of Purpose is coming up in 2 weeks, and we're going to announce it to everybody. So that if people don't want to hear it, they can just stay home.
Well, if you're preaching on it today.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're not going to do Heart of Purpose for 2 more weeks. We'll do it at the last Sunday of the month. And I'll explain why I think the Lord is leading us to do that in the message today. You'll be interested to hear it. I do not want to guilt anybody into giving. That is not how it works. You know what giving is worth if you're doing it out of guilt?
Nah, zero. Whatever you give.
Yeah, it's yeah.
It's actually a negative, isn't it?
I think it is. It definitely is going to cost you. We're going to talk about lost people giving, whether we want that or not. And we're going to talk about some interesting things. We've got a pretty good group of pretty new believers in the church that'll be here for the message today. Things that new believers definitely need to hear. Most of you in here know everything I'm going to preach today, so you can just sleep through it if you want to. But matter of fact, I woke up early and couldn't go back to sleep, so I may fall asleep in my own sermon today. We'll see how it works. But hopefully I can stay awake. But any other praises before we get into today's lesson? Mike?
Just, I've seen Dana change so much in the last 6 months. Just with, I guess, us slowly getting on the same page and slowly... consistent and
slow. Well, I could even see the change in her in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
She was a lot smaller 6 months ago.
Said
Dana. Dana
or not? Oh, you said Dana. I thought you. Yeah. The way you were smiling, I thought you were talking about Amanda. But anyway.
Both of us.
Definitely.
Long way to go, though.
Yeah. All right, Proverbs 29, we're going to zero in on verse 22 today. This is one of Jerry's favorite subjects we're going to talk about today. It's probably his second favorite subject. The first one is, well, we won't talk about that one, but this one is about anger.
Lord, what is in the coffee this morning?
What is in the coffee this morning? Tell you what.
Yeah, I am. I'm
hopefully coffee.
You want what some verse? Of that, huh?
Yeah, I do.
The first verse that I want to take you to and tell you to don't be too judgmental is Titus chapter 1, verse number 7. Titus 1, verse 7. The text verse over in Proverbs is, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. An angry person and a furious person. What? But are those different?
It's just the next step.
Yeah, one is angrier than the other one, I think. Furious is, furious is, boy, that's pretty bad. But Titus 1:7 is not about you. It's about me. It says, however, though, everything that God wants me to be, he also wants you to be. So when it comes to right things. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, and then here's the one right in the middle, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, means he doesn't smack people around, not given to filthy lucre. What is filthy lucre anyway? Is that like something that gathers in the bottom of a dish when it sits too long, or what? What are you talking about?
Money gotten inappropriately.
Money gotten inappropriately. Okay, that's not given to that. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. There's a lot of skill involved with that. I'm working on all of that, by the way. But not soon angry. That's the one I want us to take a look at here. First of all, does the Bible say that it's wrong or a sin to be angry?
No. Are we back in?
Sort of, yeah. We're going to work our way back around this long circle here. Are there situations that it would be sinful or wrong to be angry?
Yes.
Well, what would that be?
Your kid does something that he shouldn't have?
Well, the one thing I can think of that I've read in Scripture, and I probably got it in one of these verses I wrote down here. I forgot which one now. But to be angry without a cause, is that like common or is that really rare?
Probably pretty common, I believe. Common for me.
Used to be. Yeah. Are you ever angry without a cause? You don't have to admit it out loud if you don't want to. Just think about it.
I feel like there should always be an underlying cause, whether you consciously know it or not.
Well, yeah, I guess, but there is a cause. Sometimes life will just pour out lemons to the point that you just... You know people who are almost always angry.
Oh, yeah.
You do. Lisa, had your hand up.
I think that when people are almost always angry, it's because they just have hurts and things that didn't go right and things like that that they haven't addressed because we're so busy. We're running from this to this to this to this, and then we're blowing up because we didn't think about that and the ramifications of whatever that situation was, and we didn't forgive somebody for this, and we didn't apologize for this, and it just all builds up.
Okay. So it's...
Matthew 5:22, I think.
Well, you got it looked up. Read it.
But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment.
Anger without a cause.
Shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall... I don't have the whole thing.
Is the scripture talking about that there is no cause, or is the scripture talking about there is no just cause?
No just cause.
There's always a cause. Somewhere back down the road, there's always something that caused it, but it may not be something that you know.
Maybe taking it out on somebody when it's not.
Yeah, I mean it's.
It's coming up in the present is what it is. It's an unresolved issue.
Yeah, that's something like that.
You're angry about work and you come out and blow up for a day.
But this scripture here that we just read is talking about being soon angry, quickly angry, hasty. We just read back in verse 20, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words, there's more hope of a fool than of him. There are a lot of scriptures that talk about being quickly. Let's go exploring and read some of these verses that talk about this thing, this issue of anger. And by the way, if you could solve the problem of anger in your life and in your home, you will have mastered, your life will change drastically. It will be an incredible improvement if you can handle anger. Proverbs 14:17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Actually, a man that's angry all the time is probably going to be pretty hated too. Mm-hmm. To live with somebody that's angry all the time, that's really hard to do. Ecclesiastes, let me go forward to the next book. Ecclesiastes 7, and we're going to go to 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Titus 1:7 tells preacher, don't be soon angry. Can you imagine having a pastor with a bad anger problem? You imagine having to counsel with a pastor? They do seem pretty angry most of the time, some of them. It tells us don't be quick to be angry. Don't be hasty and angry. It doesn't say don't ever be angry. It does say don't stay angry. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Definitely Ephesians 4:26 tells us that, commands us to deal with anger before you go to bed. You need to do that. There are a lot of things that would justify anger. A lot of things. How are you going to avoid all those things in your life that make you angry? Are you going to be able to do that? Huh?
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, Josh?
You don't really get to avoid the things that make you angry. Yeah. You just have to learn how to handle and deal with them.
You have to learn to deal with them. How do you deal with anger?
Pray for the person.
Pray for that person, Jerry?
I'll give you a couple places, Patrick. When you gave us that verse about that it was a sin to be angry for nothing, I was bad about that. Riding around during the day, I mean, I'd be mad at traffic, but I just get mad for nothing. I don't do that anymore. I mean, I do time, of course.
I'm still working on that one, actually.
Myself helped me a whole lot. And between that and anger resting both in the fool. Anger resting my book all the time in the past part of my life. And tell me I'm a fool because of it. When I start thinking about that, it helps a lot.
Yeah, sure. I don't want to be a fool. No, we don't. Sherry?
I know I've said this before, but a lot of times if it makes you angry, if you just go sit down and think about it and pray about it, it's not as bad as really it hits you at first.
The more things that you know that you don't like or that make you angry.
Well, but then you're just like in your little bubble and you're not.
Your emotions are controlling you, yeah.
Josh?
Like Sherry, I have to walk away for a minute.
I always think about the definition of being meek and how Jesus tells us to be meek. Every time I get angry or I start flying off the chain, I remember the definition of being meek, having the power to do something, yet choosing not to do it. And it helps me to step back.
All right. How much damage do you think anger does?
A lot.
Oh, man. Tons.
Not just other people, but to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, right here in our text, it says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. It talks about the pastor being not soon angry. You can't afford to have people in leadership with anger issues that aren't being dealt with. Let me take you and show you just something, just historic. Over here in the book of Daniel, let me show you this. This is, you know, sometimes, or politicians who think they're a king, or who think they're in charge of everything and not subject to what God tells them, you know. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 12. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And it was a dream that troubled his spirit so much that he just couldn't deal with it. And he couldn't remember the dream. You ever have a dream, can't remember it? But it really bothered you because something was going on, and, you know, and yeah. And he got angry over it. And he brought the wise men, quote, wise men, and these guys before him. And he said, I want to know the interpretation of my dream. I said, well, so tell us the dream. He said, I can't. You have to tell me the dream too. And they said, nobody asks this of any wise man or anywhere, king. And what did he do? It says, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Now that's furious. He was mad. So when we ask, does anger cause damage? Does it? Wow. Matter of fact, it's really kind of hard for me right now to think of many things that will actually cause as much damage as anger does. And there are things that happen to us in life that bring on anger, and you can't stop it. There are things that are going to happen to you, happen to people you love, happen to the country, happen to all kinds of, every area of life. Things are going to pop up that are going to cause tremendous anger. How are you going to deal with it? What are you going to do?
And what do you do, like, when you're really angry at a situation or somebody?
What are you going to do? Now, one of the things that Sherry said is definitely a piece of biblical advice. She said, you have to stop and consider it and think about it for a while.
I just pray about it, and sometimes it's not as bad as I think it is.
I do that while I think or sleep.
Well, sometimes when you stop and think about it, it's worse than you thought it was.
Yeah. If you pray about it, God's going to give you the right way to handle it.
Well, yeah, but
for help with my anger, ask God for me to help forgive that person, and then when they keep coming up, and my head keeps rotating that.
Okay.
God forgive them. Help me. You
know, all right.
I can't do it in my own power.
Okay, Lisa.
Frequently, what we get angry at is a situation where we expected somebody to do something or feel a certain way about something, but we forget they don't think like we think. And if we remember that, they have their own thoughts and their own deal with God, then it's easier to step back a little bit and think about it. But we have to, just like we talked about, going to the Lord throughout the day to stay in fellowship with Him.
Yeah.
We have to check ourselves. And because what you say might be totally impossible, and it's hard to unsay things.
One of the things we're going to have to recognize is that you're not going to get through your life without having to deal with anger. To have a consistent, ongoing anger issue where you're just angry all the time, and you know, that happens to people. Maybe you. It can be like that, and the kind of damage that comes from that is indescribable sometimes. What's one thing you can do sometimes, not always, what's one thing you can do that will help you handle an anger problem? 1 John 1:9, confess your sin. Okay. Gilbert?
Sometimes we have to go through turmoils and stuff, but I have adjusted in my thinking instead of getting angry, is to change. For whatever reason it is, I don't care if for finances or expenses or loss, instead of wallowing into it, just stop right there and change your mind to something different or with association with somebody else. And even if it's the work, you need to just give it to somebody else.
Well, it always helps to think about good things. That's pretty hard to do. All right, who else had a hand up? There was a bunch. Jerry?
Yeah, I don't know if it's in or not, but sometimes you just got to burn it off.
Burn it off?
Burn it off. Find something to do.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes that works. What about removing yourself from the cause?
Sometimes you can't.
I better say your question again.
Sometimes, what about removing yourself from the cause, the situation?
Yeah.
Where the anger's originating from? Amanda?
That's such a perfect timing for this, because I've been working under this girl for Santa stuff since last year. And she likes how I work the printer, so she keeps using me. And then in October, I worked for her and then asked her if we could finalize the payment before I go. And she looked really irritated that I had asked. Well, then I worked for her Friday. And you can feel the evil spirit. Santa talks about massage parlors and smoking weed and all this stuff. And it makes me want to cry sitting there watching kids sit on his lap, honestly. But then she was like, oh, I'll pay you tonight. And I was in a hurry to go listen to a girl's testimony, so I couldn't stay to ask for the payment because I didn't want to be late. And then she never got to me Friday night. And then Saturday morning, I messaged her. And it's all about principle. I even told Mike yesterday. He knows I kept bringing it up, like why? Like, why would you do this? You know, and I didn't even think about losing the money at all. It was like, you're going to tell me you're going to pay me. And then she read, it sounds childish, but y'all have Facebook. So it shows she's active online. And I message her, hey, can we go ahead and take the payment? She read it and never wrote back. But she's posting pie-making videos on Facebook. And she's on it all day. And then I texted her last night. And I said, hey, I see you're online, so I want to go ahead and get you while you're at your phone. Can we go ahead and take the payment? And the whole day, it was just bothering me. I was like, it's not about the money. It's the integrity. Like, yeah. If you say you're going to do something, and he knows I was irritated with it.
Well, being irritated, I think that's called being angry.
And then she finally paid me. And I said, Mike, what is my part in this? Because AA teaches us to look for your part. He said, you don't have a part in that. You did nothing wrong. But it's like, now I'm not going to work for her anymore.
Yeah. That's actually a pretty good step. You can't, all, like Cherry said, you can't always do this, but it's a pretty good step. I looked up a couple of verses. This isn't meant to be sexist or just pointed to one gender, but what it says in Proverbs 21:19, it's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman.
Especially one that's hungry.
Especially one that's what?
Especially one that's hungry.
One that's hungry?
Angry.
Angry. Yeah. Angry. I couldn't just send an angry one. Well, if the principle stays true, it's probably better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry guy as well. Now, I didn't hear the guys saying stuff like that when I said the first one, so. Yeah, go ahead.
I had one at work when I first started working at NASA.
Yeah.
I worked with her every day, and she was very angry and mean, and she always was saying stuff to me and everything. I would just go in earlier than her and pray over her desk every day. And in about a couple of months, her whole attitude changed. I mean, I don't know what she was going through or what was making her that way, you know, but sometimes they are going through stuff and you don't know.
Right.
And it did change, and she did change for the better. And there was times she got worse again, and I'd just start praying over her desk again.
That's good. Do you have any place in your house that's really private and you can just go there and get, be alone? Yeah, I know. The next scripture that we're reading here is Proverbs 25:24. It's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Now, again, I know Jerry is grinning back there, but again, this principle is true whichever gender we're talking about. It's still true. What it's talking about is trying to remove yourself from that situation. Go ahead, Josh.
Just something to make note on here is if you have a contentious woman or a contentious man in your house, that a lot of times not looking at them is a problem. You need to look at yourself.
Yeah.
Especially being a man, you're the leader of the family. So attitude reflects leadership. If your whole family has got a bad attitude, maybe you ought to look in the mirror.
Yeah. Kind of like a teacher who's all their students are getting C's, D's, and F's. Might not just be the students. Yeah, that's certainly true.
A lot of the time when people get mad at somebody else or something else, they're seeing something in themselves.
Yeah.
Like if I start seeing a lot of people that are doing the same thing, you know, I might want to look at myself kind of deal.
If you are constantly around situations or an environment of anger, it's probably going to cause you to be angry. It's kind of contagious. Love is contagious. We know that. You know, being around mean people kind of tends to make people mean. The Bible says here in Proverbs 22:24, it says, make no friendship with an angry man. I didn't say an angry woman, ladies, so it's fair both ways here. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. You got to stay away from friends, quote, fellowship with people who are angry all the time. You can't allow yourself to be corrupted that way. Because if you have friends that are just too temperamental. I mean, they're just always flying off the handle or angry about everything. You're going to start taking that home with you if you hang around them. Sometimes you just have to say no to friendships. Well, you know, but she's my friend and she needs me. No, she needs Jesus is who she needs, or he needs, wherever we're talking about. You're not going to be able to be the answer for everybody.
Yeah. There are a lot of angry people who like they're like, oh, I need to work with you on my anger, blah 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 blah, and then you're like 3 months down the road and they're still angry, and they're because what they're asking you to do or be is God, and I'm not God and I can't change them inside. If they have to do it themselves or God has to do it, and you can't expect people to do more than God created them to be able to do. So sometimes you just have to tell people you really need to take this to the Lord and talk to Him about it.
I want to take you over here to what the Bible says that our life is supposed to be like when we put on the new man. What's it mean to put on the new man? Do you have a new man to put on?
Yes.
How did you get one?
Christ.
The Bible says that when we get saved, that God recreates our spirit in righteousness and true holiness. And our new righteous spirit that lives in us is our new man. That's what the Bible's talking about. And we're to put on the new man. And Ephesians, where it tells us, this is chapter 4, where it tells us that we are, our new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. This is like two verses away. It's where it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. If you go to bed angry and you just stew on it, you're giving the devil an opportunity to use you. Number one, if you do that, you're not in fellowship with God when you do it. So you need to fix that. That's a 1 John 1:9 issue for sure. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Is that a problem among Christians?
Yes.
Especially when you're angry.
Well, I'm glad I don't have any trouble with that. When does garbage pop out of your mouth? Most often. When does it happen?
When
you get angry. It's it. But that which is used to good to the use of edifying. This is where that wonderful T-shirt slogan comes from. What is it? Edify or shut up. There it is. Grieve not the Holy Spirit by whereby are you sealed to the day of redemption. Now here's what God says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger. Wrath is kind of that step higher, like furious. Yeah. And clamor. This is whenever you hash it out with other people. This is, it's the Suzuki syndrome, I call it. You know what I'm talking about? You've heard it before. It just goes. And evil speaking. How can you not speak evil of someone who is caused you angry or is evil? Just shut up. Really, there's only one way. Let it all be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The biggest answer to dealing with your anger isn't avoiding it, although that's something you need to do if you can. It isn't willpower. It isn't just keeping your mouth shut, because there's good things to say too. What's the biggest answer to dealing with anger? What is it?
Walk away from it.
No, we already talked about that.
Forgiveness.
Biggest answer is forgiveness. And I won't tell you how many times I've heard, well, I just can't forgive them. Number one, that's a lie, because you can't. You can't.
Can't have iniquity in your heart either.
And forgiveness doesn't mean that you put yourself back in a situation. Forgiveness doesn't mean you acknowledge that what they did might not be evil, because it is. Forgiveness is handing it to God to deal with instead of trying to deal with it in here yourself. That's what it amounts to.
So you basically can forgive but not reconcile.
Yeah. Well, there's no reconciliation that's required. This says forgiving one another, and it's talking primarily about forgiving brothers and sisters, forgiving each other. And that's an issue. But there's going to be a lot coming from the world out there that's not brothers and sisters. And you're going to have to deal with that too. And you're going to have to learn how. But you can't. But the good news is that you can. Not on your own, not in your own strength, but you can. And by the way, sometimes forgiving them is a whole lot more satisfying than not forgiving them. Because when you forgive them, you put them in God's hands instead of keeping them in yours. And God is not okay with people who hurt his children.